Today we are going to present a teaching out of Numbers. And my prayer this morning is that we leave with something from this passage that we're lifting. It was a challenge for me to condense this in 1 week, but I want to honor next week, which is Palm Sunday. And so I want to shift and I want to condense this and be sensitive to that tradition. It's a good tradition to honor Palm Sunday and then leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Anybody excited about Resurrection Sunday? It's always good to remember that weekend. And so we are going to talk about a Caleb shortage. Everybody say Caleb shortage. Again, it's my prayer that we leave with something today. It's so much today. And so I pray that you would get something. I do have worksheets, so you can fill those worksheets in and take it home and do some additional studies. Numbers 14, verse 24. There's a shortage of Calebs, in my opinion, humble opinion. Imagine if there were 1 billion Calebs in the world, or 6 billion Calebs in the world. That would be something. That would really be something. Numbers 14, 24 says, it starts with but my servant Caleb, this is a different story. Numbers 14, 24, he has a different spirit. Everybody say different spirit. He follows me passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it. Again, we're talking about a Caleb shortage. There's a shortage of Calebs. Who is Caleb and why does he deserve our attention today? In your worksheets, you can write it down. I think we should give attention to Caleb today because of what he said, what he stood for that allowed him to stay. What he said, what he stood for allowed him to stay and to be alive for a long time, in my opinion. What he said, what he stood for, allow him to stay. So the T on Caleb actually means dog. It means wholehearted. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the levav, which is the heart, and somehow is tied to heart. His name in the Hebrew is tied to heart. And so obviously we won't dig into that, but I think it's interesting that his name means dog. Alphaeus means chief. I don't want a name that means dog. Amen. But there's something to that. Wholehearted, the T on Caleb. Caleb is the son of Jephunneh. Caleb is, if you're writing in your worksheets, descendants of Asher, the 8th son of Jacob. Asher's mom was Zilpah, which is Leah's servant. All right, so Leah didn't have Asher. Her servant had Asher, and Asher was the head of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Asher's great-grandfather was Abraham. So Caleb is some kin to Abraham. And one of the 12 spies Moses sent to scout out the land God promised is Caleb. One of the 12 tribes Moses said, go out and scout out the land. I want you to survey the land that God promised us. God has promised us this land, Caleb. You go out and you see what it's all about. So I think that's the T on Caleb for about 20 seconds. I think there's a Caleb shortage. I think there's a shortage of humans talking like Caleb. I think there's a shortage of humans speaking like Caleb, standing like Caleb. We waste words every day. Amen. If there's a battle between women and men, who gives the most words, who do you think will win? Women will win, except when you get into the barbershop, because we know we can, guys, we've been in the barbershop and we can get it in, right? At least our barbers. And so we got you on that, ladies. But ask yourself, is what I'm about to say causing me to stay like Caleb? Is what I'm about to say will cause me to stay? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. Everybody say talk good. Everybody say talk right. Which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Matthew 12, 36 says, Jesus said, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. Every empty word. Everybody shout, don't waste words. Everybody say, don't waste them. God is recording every empty word, every idle word, every word that is basically free from labor. That's what idle word means. Barren. That means you are saying something and it is bearing no fruit. My grandma say, hot air. Amen. There's a Caleb shortage. What do I mean by that? A Caleb shortage, individuals that will stand like Caleb, that stand with integrity. We need more alphabets in the world. What do I mean? We need more individuals that are characters. Amen. I know that sounds funny. I heard Miles Monroe. He gave this analogy of characters. He talks about it. My name starts with an A. An A is a character. He said, when you have character, you have integrity. When you have character, you don't change. An A is an A in the light, and an A is an A in the dark. So when you have character, you don't change. You have integrity. Amen. We need more individuals like Caleb that will have integrity, that will be consistent, will be the same in the day and the same at night. Amen. If you stand right, if you want to write this down, and talk right, you will reap right. If you stand right, like Caleb, if you talk right, you will reap right. God is paying attention and keeping record of what we say and do. Alpheus, we throw words and actions away like God ain't listening. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Back to Caleb. Why are we highlighting Caleb this morning? Why am I saying there's a Caleb shortage? There's a Caleb shortage. Imagine 7 billion Calebs in the world. Numbers 13 gives us a little backstory. Numbers 13, 2 says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out to me. I'm going to do a little role playing this morning. All right. Y'all feel all right? I'm going to try to manipulate my voice and bring us back to the Bible days. I think I did this one time last year. It went over okay. So y'all didn't throw tomatoes at me. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men. Everybody say 12. All tribal leaders of Israel from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. All right, so you have all 12 scouts, all 12 surveyors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So we have about 12 individuals. We are going out to scout this land that God has promised. All right, Bible readers, you already know this, but I want to lift something today. There was clearly a difference in what Caleb saw and what the other spies saw. Everybody said there was a difference. And so in Numbers 14, verse number 23, is what comes before the but. So we lifted up Psalms 14, verse 24. But before Psalms 14, 24, there's Psalms 14, 23. And it says, not one of them, basically the spies, not one of them will ever see the spies and some. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. Everybody say, this is bad news. God is saying, listen, Linda, I promised you, but it ain't happened. It ain't happening that way. I promised you, I promised you this territory. I promised you this land. No one who has treated me with contempt would ever see it. who has treated me with contempt will ever see the land I promised you. Somebody shout, you talk too much. Y'all talk too much. You just messed it up. God's people, Israel, he promised you something, and now he's like, well, not right now. Write this down. Your consistency will always expose inconsistencies around you. Your consistency will always expose inconsistencies around you. You don't have to write it down, but it's on the, I think I'll give Brother Lawrence these slides as well, if you like them. Verse 24, but my servant, Caleb, who is consistent, this is a different story. So this is bad news for everybody except Caleb and Joshua and everybody that's under the age of, remember Alpheus, under the age of 20, I believe, that will inherit the land. Everybody else will die and not inherit the land because they talk too much. There's a Caleb shortage. Amen. Caleb talked with integrity. He stood with integrity. He had character. He did not change. He had stance. So he has a different spirit. He follows me passionately. Caleb follows God passionately. Everybody say, that's a different spirit. I follow Jesus, but do I follow Jesus passionately? Passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it. Contrary to popular belief, I said this a few weeks ago, closed mouths do get fed. Amen. Sometimes closed mouths will get fed well. So there's four P's that I want to focus on today, and I'll be out your way. And these, you can fill this in on your worksheet. And it's the perception of Caleb, the position of Caleb, the power of Caleb, and the promise of Caleb. One more time, the perception of Caleb. Caleb had a certain perception. The position of Caleb, the power of Caleb, and the promise of Caleb. Joshua 14 says, now the people, this is just some of the story of what I'm talking about. Just in case you have not read the story and you're watching online and you're trying to figure out who is Caleb and why are we highlighting Caleb in this good old 66 book Bible, but Caleb talked right. If you're watching online, Caleb talked right and he stood right and it allowed him to stay. Amen. Joshua 14 verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Joshua was like Caleb's right hand man or vice versa. So Joshua was good people also. Everybody say Joshua is good. He is going to see the promise. Because he with Caleb. If I was to retitle this teaching, I would say, I'm with Caleb. Everybody say, I'm with Caleb. I'm with Caleb. That's probably what Joshua said. I'm with Caleb. You ain't going to kill Caleb because he has a different spirit. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses? The man of God asked Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to explore the land. And I brought back him a report according to my convictions. Remember, the first P is perception. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I saw one thing, the other spies saw another thing. Everybody say perception. But they took it to a whole nother level. It's not about what you see. Sometimes it's about how you perceive what you see. Amen. And so these other spies were fear-mongering. The other scouts, not Joshua, Joshua said, hey, leave me out of this. The other scouts, not Joshua and Caleb, started to believe the facts. They started to believe the facts. Let's see what the text says. Numbers 13, verse 27. Numbers 13, verse 27. They started to believe the facts. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, And it does flow with milk and honey, and that makes us happy. Amen. Here is its fruit. Excuse me. By the way, the fruit that they brought back from this land was so huge. It probably was the size of my head. Imagine eating a grape the size of my head. All right, y'all go easy on me. All right, watch it. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. That has to mean something. All right, that means they were bad to the bone. They were scared of them, or they perceived that they were a threat. The Amalekites lived in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites lived in the hill country. We got to go through these people to get what God promised us. We got to go through this to get my, I got to go through this to get my blessing. Everybody say, do I got to go through this to get my blessing? Lord Jesus, do I got to lose this to get my blessing? I think it's Fantasia. I never quote Fantasia, but I think she has a song. Sometimes you have to lose to win again. That's not biblical, but that's Fantasia. God, I got to go through this to lose. God, the hill country is full of threats. The only thing standing in the way of me and my blessing is a bunch of threats. And the Canaanites, more threats, live near the sea along the Jordan. Look how professional these scouts were in describing the threats. These scouts were so professional in describing the conflict than the solution. Everybody read this with me. Don't let description delay your destiny. It will cause fear every single time. We are good at describing how bad it is or how bad we perceive it. But perhaps it's really not that bad. It's how we are seeing it. It's how we are replaying the facts. The fact is there was a whole bunch of ites. A whole bunch of ites. Hites, Jebusites. It was a whole bunch of ites that were threats. And then fear is basically, this is a little acronym I came up with, if you don't mind. Fear basically is facts exaggerated and replayed over and over. Facts, yes, it's a fact that the coronavirus is here. But when we replay the facts and exaggerate and replay them over and over, guess what's going to happen? We ain't going nowhere for 6 years. Amen? We're going to DoorDash for 6 years. And preferably you have a job where you can work from home. Amen. That old couch is going to have a good old print in it because of fear, because of facts exaggerated and replayed over and over. Life is about how you see it. Life is about how do you see the glass half full or half empty? Everybody read this on my cue, Wait Sweets. And I want you to read what's on the screen very loud if you can. On your mark, get set, ready, go. Go, read it. Read it, everybody out loud, go. That's not what it says. It says, opportunity is now here. Life is about how do you see it? How do you interpret life? How do you interpret calamity? How do you interpret loss? We've all experienced, amen? But opportunity is now here. Opportunity is nowhere. Obviously, is what we saw first. It's amazing that our first response to things we see is negative sometimes. Everybody say perception. Caleb's perception. Everybody say Caleb's perception. Numbers 13. Why am I tickled? Numbers 13. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land. I know there's threats, but we should silence the people and take possession of the land. All right? I'm sorry, I misread that, but y'all know what it says. He said, we can certainly do it. This is Caleb's perception. Everybody say, yes, we can. Everybody say, yes, I can. Everybody say, yes, I will. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. I got to try to change my voice. We can't do it, Caleb. This is horrible. We can't do it. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land. And they had explored. This is terrible. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. And Caleb said, and? We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. Remember, we just read about Anak. So when you saw Anak a few minutes ago, you may not have understood the threat. But these were some larger than life creatures, not humans. Everybody say creatures. Have you ever seen a Nephilim? Somebody say in the spirit. But have you ever seen in the physical? Yes, some of your circumstances are appearing as Nephilims. But imagine being alive in the Bible days and seeing Nephilims. Do you know how Nephilims were created? Evil giants, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Everybody say speak life. Everybody say perception. It talked about Caleb passionately worshiping God and passionately serving God. He was so passionate. In Numbers 14:6, it says, Caleb, Numbers 14:6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, members of the scouting party, ripped their clothes. That is passion. The Bible talks about them. When somebody's ripping their clothes, it's either a sign of mourning or either a sign of being angry. Imagine being so upset and so mad that you will rip your clothes off. Think about grieving so much that you will want to rip your clothes off. It's just overbearing. Amen? But imagine being so passionate about the things of God and about being right that you would. Have you ever ripped your clothes off to tell somebody that one of the Ten Commandments that we all are breaking needs to be followed? Or that we need to believe that the Bible is true? Have you ever said something that God told you to tell somebody, and while you were telling them, that's like me right now teaching this teaching and being so passionate, I'm ripping my clothes off. Y'all wouldn't hear nothing I'm saying. Caleb and Joshua ripped their clothes and addressed the assembled people of Israel. There's a Caleb shortage. The land we walked through and scouted out is a very good land, very good indeed. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. Caleb's perception. A land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey. Aunt Nina, I don't know if you remember Uncle Jerry. We talked about why is milk and dairy is so bad for us. And then I jokingly said, but God promised us a land flowing with milk and honey. Surely milk is good for us, or dairy products are good for us. Anybody like cheese like me? Anything with cheese. Amen. I'm like, surely milk. But it's amazing that some things in the Bible is an analogy, is a metaphor. The script, this translation says, as they say, with milk and honey. So perhaps this is an analogy or a metaphor for a place that has a lot of wealth, resources, but I'm, you know, just something to consider. And he will give it to us. Caleb's perception, he has not changed. He is standing tall. He is standing with integrity. He will give it to us. Just don't rebel against God. This is kind of like a if-then type statement. If you do this, this will happen. And don't be afraid of those people. Why? We will have them for lunch. They have no protection, and God is on our side. Don't be afraid of them, Verse number 10, but up in arms now the entire community was talking of hurling stones at them. I don't know if I'll finish today because I have a ways to go. Y'all okay? Let's take a little commercial break. I find it interesting that when Caleb was speaking the truth, it sounded like a strange sound to everybody else. So much, imagine me up here teaching from the Word of God, not my opinion, and then you guys throw stones at me. In other words, that is code for you pulling your 357 out and shooting me in 2021 or your 9mm. All because I'm speaking the truth. I am speaking my conviction. I am so passionate about my perception, it is potentially causing me to not be popular. It is potentially causing me to be shot at. Amen? It is potentially causing me to be shaded, shunned, ostracized. That is very interesting. There's a shortage of Calebs. Because when I think about it, do I want my lifestyle threatened by speaking the word of the Lord? I wonder, do I take another route so I can be popular on social media or so I won't have to face any comments or opinions? Am I ripping my clothes off on social media about the things of God? I know it's a big battle. It's a big fight. Because social media is infinite. It's the world and some. I think some aliens are on social media. It's like these comments come out of nowhere and they're quick, fast, in a hurry. But Caleb stood for something. Everybody was trying to kill him and Joshua. But God said he follows me passionately. So much he rips his clothes off when he is speaking the word of God. Numbers 13 says, we got to believe anyway, guys. We got to fight through this anyway in a day like 2021. Perception of Caleb. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. And did I already read that? It felt like I read that already. No, I didn't read that. Let's read some more. Y'all okay? Y'all read this with me? Numbers 13. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. I've already read this, but I wanted to lift to something else there. Verse number 30. Then Caleb silenced the people, and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, and we will certainly do that. I already read that. How do you see and you view conflict? Do you see the glass half empty or half full? Remember this translation said that, Caleb said that, I see my threat as lunch. He said, I see my threat as lunch. Miles Monroe beautifully articulated this, and I said, I need a picture to talk about this. This lion sees this threat or potential threat or this giant not as a threat. You know what the lion is seeing this threat as? Everybody say lunch. It is bigger than him, but he's looking at this lion. This lion is looking at this elephant, and he is circling something that's bigger than him. He is circling the conflict. He is saying, you don't look like a threat to me. You look like lunch. That is a Caleb mentality. That is a Caleb mentality. Number two, I think I may finish a little bit earlier. Number two, the position of Caleb. Everybody say the position of Caleb. Joshua 14. The position of Caleb. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old, and when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to explore the land, to basically to scout the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. Everybody say convictions. We talked about his perception. Now we're talking about his position. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. However, everybody say, however, I follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. In other words, he went against pop culture. He went against what was popular. So we had the perception of Caleb. How do you perceive life? And now the position of Caleb. He said, according, I brought back this report. I articulated what was in my heart according to my convictions, which was following God wholeheartedly. Number three, the power of Caleb. Everybody say power. Caleb had power. Judges 1, the Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had chariots fitted with iron. As Moses had promised, Hebron was given to Caleb, who drove from it the three sons of Anak. Another commercial break. We have to be careful when God, when we are in the company of somebody and God, and you overhear God promising them something. You overhear God saying, I'm going to give you $1 billion. And you say, surely when you get that $1 billion, if you play whatever you play to get that billion, amen, I know you don't play it, that when you get it, that I don't have this misconception that it belongs to me too. Does that make sense? In other words, you see a group of individuals that clearly heard God say, listen, Caleb, you and Joshua and everybody 20 years old and under, you're gonna inherit the land. You're going to be able to enjoy the land I promised. So it's almost like these guys ignored God. Everybody say, don't ignore God. And they try to go take, they try to basically confront the threat, and you see what happens, right? They couldn't take it because the promise was for Caleb and not for Joshua. Everybody say, God promised me. It's for me, and I'm going to get it. Everybody say, I'm going to get it. Clap your hands if you're going to get God's promise. It's okay to be selfish because God gave you the ability to handle the bill. He gave you the ability to handle the job. He gave you the ability to handle whatever's coming your way. Amen. Caleb could do what the others could not do because he had his PhD. He had his power to handle the devil. All right, I'm almost finished. Praise the Lord. Are y'all okay? God's word is phenomenal. It's beautiful. We're just walking through this story. Numbers 14, but my servant Caleb, I'm rereading this, all right? First of all, I was like, am I okay? I know it's hot up here, but I'm okay. I'm reading this again. I like the law of repetition so it could be in my spirit, amen? Sometimes I got to hear it 10,000 times. I'm ADD, and I'm anointed, dangerous, and disciplined. So y'all take this journey with me. Numbers 14, we're talking about Caleb's power. And then we're going to talk about his promise, and we're done. But my servant Caleb, this is a different story. He has a different spirit. He follows me passionately. I'll bring him into the land that he scouted, and his children will inherit it. That's why Caleb had power, because he was anointed by God. We cannot try to do something that God has not anointed us to do. We can try, but we will fail. Caleb had a personal security God by the name of Jehovah Jireh. He said, I will bring him into the land. I will, in other words, escort him to the land that I promised him. That's why he had power. He had favor. God gives favor to the faithful. And favor is basically power. Anybody else other than me is favored by God? That means you are powerful. You have power. If you wake up and you know you have favor, that means you have power. Use it. Lastly, Caleb's promise. Caleb's promise. And this is really shouting good time right here. I may run to Clemson after this one. Because Caleb had a promise. Caleb had perception. He had a perception. He had power. He had a position that allowed him to stay. This promise right here, in other words, I think this promise was motivation for him to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because he's now in his 80s. And many of us think individuals that are, 70s and 80s are washed up. But Caleb is a testimony that it is never too late to get what God has for you. That should be good news for somebody in this good old church. Amen. Because there's a promise still hanging over your head, and all you have to do is reach up and grab it. Amen. Caleb's promise, Joshua 14. So on that day, Moses swore to me. A long time ago, God made me a promise. Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive. Everybody say, God is keeping me alive for something. God has kept me alive for 45 years since that time. When Moses said that to Caleb, he was in his 40s. So now about 40-something years have passed. He is in his 80s. God has kept Caleb alive because he followed God wholeheartedly. Amen? All right. That's encouragement for me. Alphaeus, you will be 40. I'm talking to me. Alphaeus, you will be 40 this year. If you stand right and if you talk right, he's going to keep you alive for 40-something more years. Amen. Anybody in here in your 80s? Is anybody in your 80s? You don't look it. Anybody in your 70s in here? Nobody want to raise their hand. Y'all doing the mannequin challenge. Anybody in their 40s in here? All right, y'all tell the truth. I see you up there, sweets. You look good for 40-something. You look wonderful. You ain't 40. I live with you. Yeah. Now then, just as the Lord promised, everybody say promise. Now then, just as the Lord promised, everybody say promise. Just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. While Israel moved about in the wilderness. You gave me a promise. Now I have to go through the wilderness to get to my promise. That's some type of promise, God. Really? You gonna promise me this and I have to go through the wilderness for 40-something years to get to it? And then see everybody that I love, you keep me alive and you kill everybody I love. You keep me alive, but you kill everybody I love. Just so I can get the promise. You keep me alive and you kill everybody else I love. There's something that's very real. I actually been transparent. I experienced it a while back, and it's called survivor's guilt. It's like, God, why are you keeping me alive? And everybody that I love, aunts, uncles, cousins, twin, I'm watching them leave this earth. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Everybody say, it's about me, myself, and I. I know that sounds selfish, but that's just the way it is. So they're going through the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. God, I'm imagining Caleb saying, am I even going to enjoy this good old promise that you promised me? And clearly, I'm close to it. And the Bible talks about your latter days should be what? Greater. But God, I'm getting older and I'm feeling I'm feeling a type of way. Anybody else feel that way? The older you get, it's like, my goodness, things are feeling a little funny. That's a testimony of many. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron's his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Even in Caleb's old age, he still had conviction. He held on to the promise. You may be 39 in your 30s like me. You may be in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You may be in your 90s. But just like Caleb, hold on to the conviction. My stamina is because of my belief, like Caleb. Amen. And so if you realize there's a Caleb shortage and you want to do something about the shortage and put some more Calebs on the shelf, if you don't mind standing. And just like Caleb, we need to hold on. Perhaps it was the promise that made him have a different spirit. And it got God's attention. And I believe in Caleb's spirit, he was rehearsing the promise of God. And so just for a few seconds, we want to rehearse a few promises that's in this good old book. Because I want to be like Caleb someday. Alpheus Caleb Anderson. And so these are some promises that I think will encourage us even in our latter days, amen, and to keep us motivated and keep our eyes on the prize. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's read this together. Ready, set, go. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. Amen. Amen. These promises are giving us life. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. What's keeping Caleb alive and motivated all of these years? People are dying. People are getting hurt. And I'm seeing this. Sometimes surviving is not a blessing if you're seeing all of this. Can I be honest? But Caleb is holding on to the promises of God. Amen. He's holding to John 3:16. Ready, set, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Caleb is holding on to things like Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Caleb is holding on to Jeremiah. We should hold on to Jeremiah 29:11. Read it loud. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. In other words, for good, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. One more. And let's give God a great praise after this last one. In 2021, Isaiah 41:10 says to fear not. Everybody say, fear not. For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will keep you alive, Caleb. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Clap your hands for God's promises. No more Caleb shortages. Yes, if we stand right, if we talk right, we will stay. Amen. One of the promises that I'm glad we read was centered around salvation. Amen. And if you're online, if you're watching, and you want to, you want a promise right now. You say, I've never received a promise from God. All you have to do is just say this and believe this. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. So that's a promise. That's a promise. And if you're watching online, if you're in this room and you say, I want that promise, just type in the chat, I want that promise. Raise your hand in the room. You say, I want that promise. I want to be saved. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I believe in this promise that I'm about to receive. So many people in my life have broken promises. I need a promise that will stick. And I actually believe that this promise will stick. God, I pray that you would accept me as I am. And then, God, when I come to you, change me, forgive me, clean me up. Because, God, I believe that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. And I'm confessing right now. And so I am saved according to what Mr. Alpha you said. That's if you're a young person watching. I am saved according to what Alpha you said. But guys, you're not saved according to what I said. You're saved because God said it. And if he said it, that finishes it. All the promises of God are yea and amen. So let's end today by saying amen. 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 Clap your hands for God's word.